Welcome to Inside the Draft, a weekly preview of the upcoming NFL Draft with insiders from around the country.
Hey, welcome again to Inside the Draft here on Colts.com, the Colts mobile app, and the Colts Audio Network. Thanks for coming back again. I'm Matt Taylor, joined with Casey Vallier inside the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio. And we're 2 weeks away from draft weekend, round one, Thursday, April 25th, with the Colts holding seven picks, one in each round currently. And they select 15th overall coming up on night number one. And our guest today is Shane Hallam, talking all things draft, the managing partner and NFL draft analyst at draftcountdown.com. Shane, always good to have you back this time of year. You've got your latest mock draft out, seven rounds, in fact. And you've got the Colts drafting Terrion Arnold at number 15, the corner out of Alabama. What about the cornerback position? What about Arnold's game? Makes sense for the Colts in the first round. Why that spot so early?
I think it's wide open on that right cornerback spot. Maybe it's Dallas Flowers, maybe it's Jalen Jones, but ultimately I think they draft someone pretty high in the top 100 to be that replacement in this mock draft. The corners kind of fell a little bit, and that, you know, that to me was, hey, the Colts would jump at this opportunity to draft a Terrion Arnold, who a lot of teams have as the top corner on their board. You know, highly athletic. He's a 92 to 93% athlete, which you know is required for the Colts to make that pick. You know, ball playing safety, corner who could play a little bit of safety as needed. I think he just fits the bill on that other side to be potentially a lockdown corner in that number two spot.
Now, sticking with that, Shane, you talk about Terrion Arnold. That's a guy we've heard, you know, for a couple of months now. Same with Quinyon Mitchell. Those two top guys in this draft. Let's say the Colts go another direction there at 15, but still need a corner, and they're looking for one in the draft. How deep does this corner group go outside of your Arnolds and Mitchell?
Pretty deep. I think it's a good cornerback class, especially in the first 2 days. You see a lot of players who are going to go in day two that I think will become starters. Max Melton out of Rutgers, the player that's gained a lot of steam, who ran a 4.39. He's probably going to go round two or three. Mike Sanders, still out of Michigan, had a great playoff performance. So I think that there's a ton of those day two corners. If the Colts pass, if the value's not there, maybe those top two guys are gone. They don't like Nate Wiggins out of Clemson or Coyd McKinstry, et cetera. Then I think you can look to day two and still get a highly athletic corner that has starting potential. And I even think day two, round two, round three has some of the more physical corners. If that's high on their priority list, then that's where you can get a Cam Hart out of Notre Dame or Enos Rakestraw out of Missouri, who's rising up the boards into that day two range.
Now, when you look at this draft, a lot of people at the tight end spot have talked about Brock Bowers. But going back to your mock draft, in the second round, you have the Colts taking Jared Wiley out of TCU. He's a guy that, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not super familiar with his game. Where do you see out of that tight end out of TCU and Jared Wiley?
I think Jared Wiley is kind of a sneaky choice to be the second tight end off the board in the second round. You know, he's a player who was very productive at TCU, had, you know, eight touchdowns this past season. It kind of is in a similar mold to what they drafted with Jelani Woods a couple years ago, but much more polished. Over 6'6", 249 pounds. He ran a 4.62 at that size, which is very impressive, especially in this crop. I think Jared Wiley would give them kind of an instant starter. He has the size, he has the arm length to block, plus you get the red zone threat, and it gives Anthony Richardson a little safety valve. The Wiley at his size has a little bit of juice after the catch too. I mean, he can run and he'll run through you. I think that physicality, NFL team's going
to
love.
I want to double back to Quinyon Mitchell. I think it's a fascinating conversation because the beat on him, as you know, obviously he's the consensus best corner in this draft. You've got him going pretty high, maybe a little bit higher than most, Shane. You've got him going eighth to the Falcons. Now, if he somehow slips to the Colts, if he's there at pick number 15 and the Colts select him in the middle of the first round here, Shane, how much of a steal would that be for the Colts to get that player at that position that the Colts are trying to solidify in the secondary?
Slam dunk. I would, if I was a Colts, I would run to the podium. I'd fall over myself trying to draft Quinyon Mitchell because he is the perfect fit for the defense. I have him rated as a top 10 player in this draft, and by my final rankings, he might be as high as 8 on my big board. Mm-hmm. I think he is that good. And then, I wasn't even expecting, I knew he was athletic, but I wasn't expecting the 98 percentile athlete, the 4.33 40 time at 195 pounds, over 6 feet tall. He came in, he lines up with everything other than going to Toledo. It was the only really knock that I have on Quinyon Mitchell.
Right.
But I think he is the type of player the Colts love because he can press. He has a smooth back pedal. He has the athleticism. And they definitely like players that can move with their hips and kind of explode and have that closing speed to make tackles as well. And that's something Quinyon Mitchell's great at.
All right, something else that's interesting here. You only have 3 receivers going in the top 14 picks in front of the Colts. That's really kind of tempting there. If you're Chris Ballard and a guy like Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy are there and you're in position to draft those guys and pair them up with Michael Pittman Jr. and Josh Downs, how reluctant would you be to go cornerback if those guys are still on the board there?
I think of those top 2 corners in Mitchell and Arnold, like we talked about, are gone, and the wide receiver board does fall this way. I think it would be really tempting to take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. I think he is the best of that group. I think he's a full step ahead to me of Donovan Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, the Texas wide receivers, because Thomas led the FBS in touchdowns last season. Receptions at 6'3", 209, ran that 4.33. He kind of feels like what Alec Pierce should have been. This player that can be a red zone threat, but has that size and speed to get off the press and get down the field. And you got to keep a safety back, or you're done. I think with Anthony Richardson's arm, Thomas would be the guy that I could definitely see the Colts targeting at that spot, and wouldn't surprise me if he was the pick. I think if they dip down below that to an Adonai Mitchell, I think it would be a little bit of a reach, even though I think he'll go in the first round. But Thomas, I think, would be the perfect match of value and fit with the team.
Now, sticking with that wide receiver group, it looks like it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to go quarterback 1, 2, 3. But you look at the talent that you have in a Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. Do you think it's a real possibility that a team would say, you know what, I know the team's trade up for a quarterback, but are the Cardinals going to field some offers maybe for teams trading up for a receiver with the talent you see out of those two guys?
I can see it. I think it's actually more likely to me that a team moves up to 4 for a wide receiver, whether it be Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State or Malik Nabers out of LSU, than the 4th quarterback off the board. I think people, as we always do every year, we overhype the quarterbacks and they're going to go high, and then Will Levis falls to round 2. That's what happens. But wide receiver is so talented, and I mean, Harrison and Nabers, it reminds me almost of the old AJ Green, Julio Jones draft, where like you can't go wrong. You're getting a Hall of Famer if you draft either one of these guys. And I think that could tempt a team to move up to 4, move up to 5 with the Chargers perhaps, and make sure they land one of these top 2 talents that I think for a decade will be a top receiver in the NFL.
Now, we've heard about J.J. McCarthy being that 4th quarterback off the board. Do you think there's a 5th quarterback that might slide into the first round? And if that is, who is that for you?
I'll never say never. Anything can happen in the NFL draft. I don't think it happens. Maybe I'm contrarian in that view. I think that teams are getting wiser about the quarterback position. They are looking at the full body of work. But to me, if we do see a 5th quarterback sneak in, maybe a team trades up to the late first to get that 5th-year option. I tend to lean towards Michael Penix Jr. from Washington because of his arm. I think he's one of the best pure passers in this draft, even amongst those top 4 quarterbacks. I think Penix can throw better than all 4 of those quarterbacks mm-hmm. when the pocket's clean and everything's going well. So if there's a team that's, hey, we don't need the guy, despite Penix's great workout, he's not super mobile, he's not going to take off and run, if we don't need that, then I think someone could draft him. I do think Bo Nix from Oregon is attractive to certain systems. Certain teams will have him as the quarterback 4 or 5 in this draft. But I would expect both those players to go around too.
Speaking of quarterbacks, all right, so this is kind of a weird one. Bear with me here, Shane. All right, if you go back to 2018, 21 quarterbacks have been selected in the first round. That includes 18 of those 21 with a top 15 pick. 6 of the 18, or in other words, a third, are no longer with the team that drafted them. The latest guys you've got like, you know, Justin Fields and Mac Jones and, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Zach Wilson in New York. So let's go Caleb Williams in this draft, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Which one will be the franchise quarterback and which one might be the in the nomad category if you have to pick right now? And I know that's tough to do.
It is, especially when the top three guys in the class. I think Caleb Williams is the franchise quarterback. Despite those stats, the guy that's been picked at number one overall has done pretty well. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, you know, Baker Mayfield has had a resurgence, even though he's not with his original team, same with Jared Goff. So I think teams know when you have that top quarterback that he's the guy. Caleb Williams has done this since he was 18 years old, carving up college defenses. And he was presented with an offense this past year that I don't think suited his talents as they tweaked things. And he had to overcome a bad defense. So, you know, since the bad game against Notre Dame doesn't hurt, I think he has the arm. I think he has the pre-snap and post-snap recognition and readability to be a franchise quarterback. I would say on the bus side, I guess I would probably lean to Jaden Daniels. I like him a lot. He's my number two quarterback in this class, but I think he has the lowest floor and has the most risk. Obviously, being older than Caleb Williams and Drake May, you know, he usually means, hey, there's not much more in terms of ceiling to improve and increase. He's definitely a runner first. I think the offense has to fit what Jaden Daniels does well, throw the ball deep and be able to run with the football when needed. I think a lot of the fundamentals in the pocket just break down for him when he's trying to pass under pressure and doesn't just switch to the run. I don't know if that's going to work in the NFL if he doesn't have talent around him.
All right, here's another interesting one. You got the Colts, then you have the Jaguars. They are two picks between each other in the first round. And if you look at it too, they kind of have eerily similar needs, if you will. And they're going to be monitoring each other very, very closely because obviously they're in the same division. So in the first round, the Colts are at 15. The Jags are at 17. In the second round, the Colts are at 46. The Jaguars are at pick number 48. And the biggest needs for both of them appear to be cornerback, receiver, and maybe edge rusher there. So how do you think that impacts the draft on both sides of the fence, right? You got the Colts who are chasing that division championship for the first time since 2014. Anthony Richardson's coming back. And then the Jaguars, they don't want to lose, you know, coveted players to the Colts and then have to face those guys twice a year for the next 4 years on rookie contracts.
I think there could be some jockeying for position there. We could see Jacksonville especially maybe make a move up, a couple picks in the first round or in later rounds, try to get ahead of the Colts, knowing that they have the same position. If there's a player falling, they could do it. I mean, we've definitely seen, especially last year, teams, not even necessarily in the same division, but move up two picks. You know, the Steelers moved up two picks to get ahead of the Jets. I think that's something that the NFL teams are more likely to do. GMs recognize the value and we're giving up a target that's, you know, a pick that's low value just to move up and make sure that you get someone and the other team doesn't. When you put the divisional spin on it, I think the Colts have to be aware of that and be willing to do the same thing, move up before the Jaguars do. So if you see the Colts do something weird on draft day, move up one pick, and you're like, wait, what's going on there? You know, that's probably the reason why.
My final question for you, and this is kind of an off-the-wall question, because you hear all this, guys are rising, everybody's so high on this guy and that guy. When you look at this draft and you look at guys that are projected to go a certain spot, who is a guy maybe you aren't as high on that you're a little, maybe not shocked isn't the right word, but is being labeled as one of these top 15, top 20 players?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that kind of get excited about this offensive tackle class. One of the players I don't quite understand the hype on is J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. It almost feels to me like, oh, here's an Alabama offensive tackle, right tackle, and so he's going to go high. He's big. He's 342 pounds. He must be good. And I think when you pop on the film, Alabama had struggles this year protecting the quarterback, and Latham was a reason why. I don't know if he has the movement skills to be an offensive tackle, but I still see, you know, mock drafts, projections. He might be the second offensive tackle off the board and bumping him up. I don't understand it. I don't see it. I have him graded more as a round two pick than a late round one, than a round one pick, and let alone a late round one pick. I think he could be a faller when we actually get to the draft.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out there in that regard. All right, Shane, what are you writing about and posting soon here in the next couple of weeks leading into round number one on draftcountdown.com?
I have my seven-round mock draft that you mentioned that came out this week, so definitely check that out. And I just came out with an article with all the top quarterbacks and my comps for them and how they fit. And I'm going to be doing the same next week with running backs, receivers, and tight ends. So get on Draft Countdown and check all those out.
And what about actual draft weekend, draft nights? What are you doing? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find us on draftcountdown.com. We'll be live streaming on our YouTube channel, so you can subscribe to that, youtube.com/thedraftcountdown. We're going to be live streaming all 3 days, so even day three when everyone else is tired and has given up, we're going every minute of the draft. We'll bring it to you. My goal, as I have every year, is to have watched every single player drafted. That will happen again.
Wow. How close have you come to that in the past?
Last year I got it, and then 2 years ago, it was the Colts, actually, that screwed me over.
But can I guess?
In the seventh round.
Was it Jake Witt or Titus Leo, or who got you?
Yeah, it was the safety out of Yale, or the Yale Princeton.
Yeah, Rodney Thomas. Yeah,
Rodney Thomas, that got me in 2022.
Okay. Yeah,
Rodney
Thomas. The old bulldog there got you towards the end of the day.
I know. Like,
man, that's good stuff. That is Shane Hallam, draftcountdown.com. Many thanks for your time and help. It's always a pleasure to talk to you this time of year, and best of luck with all that coverage you talked about coming up, and love to do it again soon after the draft if you're up for it to recap things, Shane. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk again. Thanks so much for having me.